recorded live.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the well-known virtual talk show for men. That's www.householdstress.com, and I am your host for the evening. My name is Head of Household, a.k.a. also known as P-Town. We bring you the great topics that leaves this call better than what, you know, you came with here for. Because what we want is to build our relationships. We want to better our relationships by leaving this call. If we did that, then I think it's always successful. And we have done that for over 59 weeks since we've been on the air, maybe even more. But our topic tonight is no different. Tonight's topic brings us to a venting point. That's right, I said it. Tonight, I believe everybody's going to be venting. Why? Because we want to be honest and compassionate, but we want to talk about what is wrong in our marriage. And I think that is the maintaining of status quo. What's wrong with our marriages? What's wrong with our relationships? I think it's the maintaining of status quo. Are you one, or are you following your relationship, even if you're married or not? Are you going through some things in your relationship? Are you stressed? Are you always upset? Did your life change for the better? Is your marriage in need of a marriage maintenance checkup? The care, the upkeep, the support to keep your marriage healthy. Is your marriage boring? Are you upset that you have to get permission to do anything that you want? Have you become impatient? Are family traditions driving you crazy? All these things can be routine or become routine if it affects the way of your life, the way of your relationship, the way of your marriage. I believe that this can really change the way you treat, feel, and respect your relationship once we leave this call tonight. First, we need to know what is status quo and what does it mean. Well, when I looked it up, the dictionary says the existing state of affairs, conditions. So it's the state of affairs. It's the status, the state of where you are right now in your relationship, from where you were coming from where you, you know, from the courting stage to getting married, to the honeymoon stage to right now. Did your marriage get stronger, or do you believe it's gotten weaker because of all these status quos, because you're stuck doing the exact same thing every single day and night? Which hinders you from doing other things that you want to do? Your needs are so great that your wants, you just don't do. And so it drives you crazy. So my first question to you tonight, folks, is what is routine in your house, and has it changed your relationship?
I think a lot of things become routine.
All right. Talk about it. Anything you want to talk about.
I'm just saying, you know, I think the day-to-day in a marriage is the reality of the this is the rest of your life. And I think sometimes that can be, you know, boring. You know, this is the last person that I'm going to hug romantically. It's the last person I'm going to kiss. It's the last person I'm going to make love. You know, this is for the rest of my life, this is the person that I'm going to wake up with every day.
Wow.
Today is like every day. Tuesday, we got a, you know, plan. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the whole week is already mapped out. You know what's going to happen next week before it gets here. You may have one or two surprise days, maybe, but that's pretty much it in a marriage. So, I mean, you know, it can definitely wear you down if you're not prepared for it.
But so can't some routine be good?
Say that question again because I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I said, can't some routine be good?
Consistency can be good, yes, consistency.
Okay.
Yeah, but what is considered consistent, though? Because your definition of consistent may not be the exact same definition of your spouse.
Yeah. Something consistent is the same person.
Yeah,
you don't have, there's no guessing game of who you're going to be with, who you're going to spend time with.
Hmm. Yeah, but just think about it. Now that we're on consistency, let's stay on that. I've heard on this call many times where your spouse gets upset because you didn't take out the trash. You could consistently leave the trash full.
Yeah.
Where it gets to the point where it affects everything else that goes on in that daily life. You can have a great day, but because you didn't take out the trash, you got attitude in the house. Which now has brought in what? Conflict. Because what ends up happening? You two argue, and then by the time you get down to what the root cause of the argument is, you done brought up 4, 5, 6 other different things. And doesn't that push you away from even wanting to just come in your house because of consistency?
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
Anybody want to expand on that? Has that happened to anybody?
Talking about like the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like you may have an issue. That may be a pre-existing issue, like the trash. And then when that comes to a head, you start bringing up other stuff. Or vice versa. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that now becomes routine, and it just starts with the trash. But
yeah.
Now any little thing, anything, now becomes routine. It comes. This is how you're going to start an argument. This is how you're going to get to the root causes. Any small little thing is going to jump off an argument. Next time it might not be the trash. It may be you left your cup on the table.
Mm-hmm.
When does that get to the point where you say, you know what? This is affecting our relationship, that these smaller things. It's not worth it. Because these small little things, I've seen a lot of people get to divorce court because of the small stuff. Next thing we want to talk about is going through our topics is the upkeep. Didn't it change from when you were married or before you were married? You know, you did things together, probably cleaned up together, made the bed together. Brush your teeth at the same sink together. But because you have different routines, your own personal routines to do in the morning, you kind of have your schedule and how you do things all laid out so that gets your focus through the day. That, does, you know, your wife has hers. Do they kind of space out the relationship? Because you're not focused things together, you know, your focuses are going different ways.
I think in some sense, you can actually work better by going in two different ways, as long as you're going the same direction. You know, I mean, with that, you know, like you said, somebody could be, getting the kids up while one is making the bed. Well, it don't take two of y'all to make the bed. I think, you know, just splitting off in some respects, as I said earlier, just like some routine can be good. Because I know I get up pretty much around the same time every morning, every weekday morning, so does my wife. And I know that, so I know that I can get up when she goes downstairs because she's finishing the bathroom. You know, so there's no need me getting up and, you know, while she's getting ready. That's my time. You know, whereas I know when I can get up. So, I mean, in that respect, no need for me to get up. And I got two sinks, so there's no need for us to be synchronized when it comes to getting up and getting ready because we got a little system. So, and it's kind of unspoken. So.
But now that you have that system, are you satisfied with that system?
Yes, because it works. It doesn't, you know, routine is good. You know, routine is good. I mean, you know what to expect. I know that I have to get my 3-year-old dressed. And my 7-year-old, she can get up. They usually get up around the same time anyway. But I know that's my responsibility 5 days a week. So it's no getting up and we're looking at each other like, all right, who's going to get her dressed? I already know. You know, that's what I'm supposed to do because she's packing everybody's lunches, you know, while I'm getting, you know, dressed. And then, you know, it works. So, I mean, for me, I speak for myself, it works for me. It works.
Well, I mean, you're right about routine being, once kids are involved, you have to have a routine, right?
Yes. Yes. Especially small children. I think that's a different dynamic, whereas before, like you said before, it's like you're making the bed together and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, somebody, once kids are involved, that changes the whole dynamic. You know, especially if they, younger kids, they need to eat or, you know, need help brushing their teeth. It's just the basic stuff, whereas, you know, you got a teenager, you ain't really got to worry about that kind of stuff. Or a young adult.
Yeah, so... So with that, you're saying routine is good because, you know, you got a plan, you got a process that glows. But now what if that process changes? Do you get upset when that process changes? When there's a glitch in that process?
I haven't had that happen, so.
Where maybe your wife has to go to work a little earlier, so now you have to.
Yeah, I mean, on her end, you know, the change, I have to go to work sometimes early, so, I mean, it changes on her end, but it's not a glitch because as long as I give her plenty of notice, you know, it's not a big deal.
And what happens if you don't give her notice? Now you got an issue, right?
Yeah. And I know she needs plenty of notice, so I don't, I know it can be an issue, so I've never run into that. Because I know, you know, I got to give her some notice with that because, yeah, she's on her own when I'm rolling out at 6 a.m. or something.
Anybody else having that problem at home? Or is everybody basically the same as Rodney? As long as they give that notice that routine is okay.
I mean, you got to be a team player. That's the bottom line. You got to be a team player. You got to be, you know, available when there's a hiccup, I believe, you know.
Yeah, you're right, because, I don't know. I'll be the first to say I'm not 100%. I fail sometimes at that. Just because maybe I might be tired. So I stay in the bed a little longer, which means she has to either step in and do my job and her job, which may make her a little later getting prepared during the morning. But sometimes me, I feel like, hey, you know, you got a reason with me. You've seen me working all night. Do we bring excuses that affect those routines that now you have, you know, now brought a problem into the home? Because we use, you know, these excuses.
I think that the other issue would be, and not to do all the talking, but, you know, are the excuses on both sides of it? You know, like, if you need her to step up and do something for you, is she giving you an excuse or is she just handling it?
Oh.
You know, and vice versa. Because, I mean, just like you say, you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, you know, I've been working late, a little tired, just going to be sleeping a little bit. You know, you call it an excuse, but it's actually the truth because you have been working late.
Mm-hmm.
But they give us the same feedback when the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah, because you're going right where I want to go. Because my thing is outside of the home. That's a kind of different story because your routine is a little different. For your wife, it may be, you know, leave the house, go straight to work, pick up the kids, and then come home. Where yours, in my case, would be in the morning, I take the kids, drop them off, I come to work, and I come straight home. But there's times where, you know, I don't stay on that same schedule. Because I might have to work a little later. And the old stereotype may affect. It hasn't so far, but it could put in the back of mind because I use that excuse that it's in the women's handbook. And everybody knows what that means. Babe, I'll be home a little late. I got to stay working late tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that could bring stress on a woman because if she goes by that woman's handbook, she may think that I'm doing something else and I'm really not working. Because, you know, the men's stereotype. I think that that working late can affect the routine of the home and affect emotionally your spouse. Just because. So
mm-hmm.
That one stereotype. Has stereotypes affected your marriage and status quo? Because I know a couple folks on this phone I know work late nights. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And might have to change their schedule. Has that affected your home? By using that, not as an excuse because it's the truth, but where your wife has questioned that many times.
Yeah, my schedule is pretty much the same for the most part, if I'm local. And if I'm out of town, like I say, I give plenty of notice. But, you know, normally, generally speaking, my schedule is, you know, generally the same. So if I do have to work late, it's a rarity, but it's not, you know, like you said, it's no bad thought. So, you know, why I'm working late or anything like that, it's legitimate because, you know, I'm big into quality of life. So I'm not, that work stuff will be there tomorrow. So, you know, that's my perspective on it, you know, so I'd rather just do the family time because it's really, when you think about it, I know in my case, I probably have on a weekday probably about somewhere between two and a half hours with the kids before they go to bed. So that's not a lot of time on an average weeknight. Sometimes longer, sometimes less, depending on what we have to do, but you know, that's important to me. So, you know, anything work related, like I said, it'll be there tomorrow. I'll pick it up tomorrow. You know, God willing, if I make it to the office the next day.
Yeah.
So, You know, it is what it is.
Because I'll probably get about an hour, hour and a half before it's time for the kids to, you know, sometimes we eat late because I get home late.
Yeah.
So that routine where we used to get to the table at 6 o'clock every single day, eat at the table as a family, and then the kids, you know, do their homework, go to bed.
Yeah.
That's out the window now because I'm usually not even leaving work until 7 and 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So now I'm messing with their routine of getting to bed early.
Right.
And they're going to bed a little late just so that, you know, and I think that kind of frustrates my wife is because I have to do these long hours that it makes the kids grumpy in the morning. And it takes them, you know, a longer time to get ready due to the fact that she allows them to stay up so they can see me before they go to bed. And it gets to the point right now for me, it's like, all right, how long do I want to stay in this position that I'm in and I'm affecting, you know, that routine, my family routine, which they love. They love sitting at the table and we all eating together at dinner. They don't love, you know, when me and the wife, you know, eating on a tray on the couch and they eating up there on the counter. You know, because I had to stop and get fast food because I didn't come home in time to fix dinner, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And I think that puts a, you know, and that's, you know, that a real big burden on the wife. And I think she's at the point now where she's like, you know what, if this is going to happen, this is going to affect our marriage. Even though I know you like what you're doing and you're good at it, but now it's dealing with, you know, in that personal family life.
But I think it goes back to what you said earlier. It's no routine. Like one night you might get home on time, the next night you might not, the next night you might not. So it's no, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, pretty much everybody gets up the same time, you know, on a weekday. Everybody leaves the house around the same time. We get home around the same time. We eat dinner around the same time. We do homework around the same time. They go to bed around the same time. So it's a routine. But, you know, like you said, your wife, she don't know when you come home or, you know, what the kid's going to eat. It's like a lot of what ifs, you know, every day almost. And that, I can see how that can cause strife. Because literally, like you asked earlier, you know, if I have the rarity where I got to work late, that just messes up the whole flow of everything in my household because that means my wife has to cook and she's got to try to manage, you know, keep the little one entertained, and she likes to be entertained. Like, you can't be cooking and entertain her at the same time. You have to do one or the other. You know, she don't go for the, you know, oh, you know, watch me. She's like, okay, put that down, come sit down, play with me. So on top of, you know, the 7-year-old needs to get her homework done. She can do it by herself, but, you know, sometimes she needs assistance, and, you know, just checking her work or whatever the case may be. So it, whereas, like, if I'm home, I can help relieve some of that burden. I can, you know, put a pot on the stove or boil some water, you know, or play with the 3-year-old or help with the homework. So it's that extra person where, you know, if in that rarity where I'm not home, that just upsets you know, the whole flow of everything. And if that were to happen, you know, that could really ruin the week. You know, it could ruin a couple of days, not just that night, you know, because it just throws everything off. And like you said, the kids are tired since they didn't get to bed on time, since they're doing homework late, since they're eating late, or whatever the case may be. You know, it can really upset the whole flow of the household for multiple days.
Yeah, because I guarantee how I got this topic was my daughter was like, you know, she's like, I'm writing you off if you don't make it to my, you know, to the middle school orientation tomorrow. I need to be there at 6 o'clock. And it's like, all right, I'll be there. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care. Whatever happens, I'll delegate it. Somebody else take care of it. I got to be out the building by 4 so I can be there at 6.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
Did you make it?
You know I did. Got home at 5:30.
How difficult was it for you to make it?
It wasn't difficult at all.
Okay,
it was like God made it where it was no problems that day. And
okay, yes, you know what you just said, right? It wasn't difficult at all.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you focused on delegating responsibility and the task at hand. I got somewhere to be tonight. I'm not fooling with y'all people. I'm left at 4:00. I'm out the door.
Yep.
Now, what is truly the difference between that day and the other days of quality time with your kids? Is one day more important than the other?
No, it wasn't. I mean, to be honest with you, where I had trust at home, knowing that the wife was going to handle business, I didn't have trust with all the people at my job or on my team. And so
okay.
I felt like I needed to be there.
Gotcha.
So I messed around and just be real on this phone and put my work and my life in front of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At least you acknowledge it. I think that's step one. You got to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I mean, I see the way it affects, because it affected the way I pay the bills in the house, when I pay the bills in the house, where now the wife is like, all right, you're the breadkeeper and you've been doing everything, but I got to step in and help you on this too, because, you know, either you just don't have the time or you're doing it late at night, and it's affecting our quality time.
Yeah.
Our quality time has now been bumped up to starting at 12 o'clock.
And then doesn't your wife have her schedule's not routine anymore either, right?
Mm-mm. She's on call, so she'd be one day 7, one day 8, you know. Her schedule is always fluctuating.
And I think it's one person has to have a routine.
Yeah.
And for both of y'all to be going in different directions and not knowing, all right, grab something, you know, to eat for the kids because I'm going to be over here, or I'm not going to be home till this time. Oh, I'm on call. I mean, for both of y'all to be, I mean, y'all end up, like you say, you end up being two passing ships in the night. You're not really getting that quality timing anymore because you just, you know, you're just all over the place. You know, you're doing stuff with the kids. You're doing this with the workplace. Oh, she's got to work. Oh, I got to work late. It's just, it's no structure. And that is, you know, that's a recipe for disaster in a marriage or across the whole familial relationship.
Yeah, because I was talking to a coworker, and she sees how I work, but she pulled me to the side and said, listen, don't let this job take over your life, because that's how I got divorced.
Mm. Now, that's a heavy statement right there, and that's a woman telling you that.
Yeah. Her husband left her. Because now, we're at the same positions, other than she works at a different component, but she leads that side, and I lead this side. We kind of work together every single day. And she was just like, you know, she went to end up getting divorced because she put all of her emphasis in her job. One, to get to where she was, but not thinking that she was leaving her own family out.
And the reality is that job won't do the same thing for you when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was a shocker, and it was like, wow, I got to, you know, this is a good topic for me, because This all about me tonight, really.
But I think, like the brother said, which was a key statement, He said that, you know, when you needed to be home at 5:30, you made it. You did it. It wasn't difficult. So that tells me that you can do it. It's just that you have to make the choice to do it, and you have to. I think it's all about, you know, we talked about priorities on this show before too. You know, is your priority getting home at 5:30 and getting your kids, you know, settled in after school, talking to them about their day, starting homework, starting dinner or getting dinner, whatever you do. Is that a priority over working till 7 or 8 o'clock and then they get into bed late, they might not get all their homework done, they're eating later, they're tired in the morning. I mean, your wife is mad because they tired. I mean, it's almost like a snowball effect, whereas you can get out in front of that, just like you said before. It's like you were home on time and it wasn't a problem. You're like, all right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow. You just walked out the door, and I think that you just have to make a point to do that because that stuff will be there tomorrow. It will be waiting for you tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
another day.
It will be, and that's just work. That's not even talking about the extra activities.
Right.
Your ministries, your church involvement, your athletic involvement, all that other stuff that comes into play.
Yeah.
So that's the fine time on that schedule too.
Yep.
Does anybody have any issues with their spouse and their involvement in the ministry?
I did. You know, because any church is the 80-20 rule. You know, 20% doing 80% of the work.
Yep.
And I absolutely had a problem with it because it was when my youngest was 1 year old and my wife she took a new position at her, she was at a new school, and then she took an additional leadership position at the school. And then on top of that, we were directors of the youth ministry. And we had a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old. We were directors together, so it was like a co-director or whatever. But I mean, honestly, you know, and she'll tell you the same, I did most of the probably 90% of what needed to be done, and she was just kind of there. And then you know, eventually she stopped participating because she could not, you know, she had work responsibilities that were falling behind. And you know, it just got to a point where, you know, we were just too involved. And you know, before, it had to be some conversation that had, and thankfully it's better now. But, I mean, even now, you know, I look at, and we're probably either wholly or loosely involved with about 7 ministries, you know, right now, which is too much. But again, you know, as somebody said, I know, you know, what I can do, and it's just, you know, my family comes first. So if I, you know, like, you know, if I got to do something, it's like, nope, you know, I really can't because I was, you know, I was out of town last week, so I can't do it this week. I can't help you this week because my family, you know, I ain't seen them. So, and that takes a priority. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, absolutely, that was, I've been there and probably, you know, close to being there right now, but it's not, you know, the activities are limited to, you know, a couple of days a week. It's not really that much of a burden. So,
yeah, I can agree with that because, you know, I do multiple things, you know, with the church that we belong to. So, it's leading the, you know, Royal Rangers, which is the young boys, giving them some Christian faith and showing them how to be young men. You know, also, I'm assistant director of the sports ministry. Then you have, I assist in Sunday school in the morning, you know, dealing with the high school kids. And sometimes, you know, the wife wants me to sit in the days that I'm not teaching. She wants me to sit in class with her.
Bible study.
And Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules say that it has to be 2 in a class now, you know. So because the rules is there, And if I'm there and one of our other assistant teachers aren't there, then I have to sit in there with, you know, with the class. So it leaves my wife feeling a little lonely, I guess I could say. Because these other responsibilities, even though she's excited that I'm part of doing things and I'm doing a lot of these things for the kids to show how good volunteering is and being a good role model and helping others. Like my daughter today got, the principal came to me first when I walked in the door this morning. She said, "Patrice, I got to tell you, your daughter is the greatest role model that we have in this school. She helps others. She defends, you know, the weak. When other kids are bullying them, and she doesn't fight them, but she stands up for them. And when these other kids can't protect themselves." And I was like, "Oh, you get ready to make me cry." I was joking, but it did really hit the heart that she's seeing this and taking these. It's like she's taking what I'm doing and doing it herself, but not realizing that though I'm helping kids, I'm hurting my relationship with my wife.
Where's your priority?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it don't make sense because you should be spending more time. You know, I think you have to look at, you have to write it down. Sometimes we have to write stuff down. And you have to look at how many hours in a month are you spending with somebody else's kids versus, I mean, I'm talking about that's quality time you're talking about, you know, what you do on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
versus the quality time, not sitting in a drive-thru, not, you know, running from here and there, the quality time that you actually spend with your own children. And just, you know, just count up the hours is, and I think as somebody said long time before, that we all get 24 hours in the day. We all get the same 24 hours. Now, what we decide to do with that, you know, I personally like to sleep about 8 hours, you know, of the 24 hours. So that leaves 16 hours. So, and I have to work for 8 hours. So, I mean, the time just goes. And I think you have to just, you know, just write down all the things that you're into, and you will see. Once you write it down, it'll be a clear picture. It's like, wow, I'm spending X amount of hours, you know, here, whereas I saw my, you know, I had quality time with the wife for 3 hours, you know, in an average week or whatever. So,
yeah, wow, good words.
I just wrote that down now.
I mean, it's, sometimes we don't get a clear picture until we write it down, and I think we have something at my job where, if, you know, the CEO literally is like, if you ever, you know, complain, sit down at your table and write down all of the good things in your life, and then on the other side, write down the bad things. And he said, "I guarantee the good things will outweigh the bad every time." You know, he was like, basically just start with 5 senses. You know, that's 5 right off the top. You can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can hear, you know, you can touch. That's 5 things that everybody on this planet doesn't have. You know, all 5. So he was like, you know, start there. You got 2 limbs. You know, I mean, and then he was like, bottom line, you know, but if it, you know, like I say, in your situation, if you have you got more hours outside of the home, or you know, at work, or focus on work, because you can be in the home and not engage, which I'm guilty of. You know, always fiddling with my BlackBerry, whereas my daughter, you know, literally tells me, "Sit down, Daddy. Put the phone down, Daddy." And so, you know, I've learned when they're around, I leave it upstairs. It needs to be charged anyway, so I just leave it upstairs and, you know, just spend that time with them. Then I don't have to worry about it, having that ready access on my hip where I can pull it out, you know, and send an email, or, you know, jump on Facebook or whatever the case may be, or call somebody. It's not, you know, it's not there because, you know, like I said before, it's not a lot of time where I get to spend with them, you know, during the week because of school and work and, you know, all those things that have to take place, so I have to maximize my time with them.
That's great. You went into an area that, here again, I'm having that is affecting my marriage, and that's that blackberry. That crackberry.
Yep. You got two of them, don't you?
I keep two of
them. I don't know how you manage that, brother, man. I had two cell phones way back in the day, and I hated it. When one wasn't ringing, the other one was, and vice versa.
Yeah. Now my regular phone never rings.
Well, you only need one then.
My work phone rings every 3 minutes throughout the night, 24 hours a day.
That's because you answer it every 3 minutes.
And the thing is that when we're in the house, I have to keep the volume on just in case somebody calls me.
What do you mean you can't put it on vibrate?
I put it on vibrate if I'm right here, but when I go to sleep, I have to put it on.
Oh, because you won't hear it if it's ringing.
I won't hear it, yeah. But when it's doing that, I had to learn how to put it on phone only because at one time I didn't know how to do it. So every time an email come in every 3 minutes, it's dinging and doing all types of stuff.
And you messing up your wife's sleep.
And I'm messing up the wife's sleep.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. I'm a 24/7 worker. My job maintains that I work 24/7, that if I get a call, I call other people, get them up.
So you wake other people up.
Yeah. So, but it affects. Y'all can see I got some issues going on in mine.
Yes, yes.
But it affects where my wife was like, well, you got to keep that thing in the bathroom because I cannot stand that phone.
That's your mistress. That's your mistress, bro, your blackberry. Because
yeah.
You have to go in the bathroom with her. You know, she can't be around. You got to, you know, keep her quiet. That's your mistress, man.
I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Can't relate to that, can you, Rodney?
Not me, man. I put my phone on vibrate. And sometimes, like I just said, I leave it upstairs. You know, I leave it upstairs. I'm not even around it, and it's on vibrate. So, and the one thing about mine, like I used to have my old job, you know, it used to be blowing me up like the pizza man. But, you know, this job, I mean, it's, you know, I'm actually 24/7, 365 too, but I don't get calls every 3 minutes. You know, and my email is not tied to my BlackBerry, only my my work email is not tied to my BlackBerry, only my personal email. But, you know, I don't have anything that's literally going through my phone all day and all night is mostly personal stuff. Because it's a rarity somebody called me, you know, in the middle of the night. But I will answer, you know, but it's on vibrate. But even last night I was watching the game, and I was sending an email, and my wife was asleep, and I was trying to be as quiet as possible typing and watching the game, because I even had the game on mute, you know, so she can go to sleep. And but literally, you know, she could hear the keys, you know, going back and forth. And so I had to put it down, you know. But it can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. It's out there.
Because you control the BlackBerry. Now, the BlackBerry controls a lot of people. I mean, it controls a lot of people. But, I mean, you have to.
That thing is a crackberry.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you have to. It'll only do what you allow it to do, you know, in your life. And, you know, I know, for example, like my wife has one, too. And I don't even try to, you know, talk to her, have a conversation with her when she has it in her hand. I'll just wait. You know, I wait. You know, I see she's busy or whatever in an email or, you know, whatever. I don't even attempt, you know, to make a, to jump in there or whatever when she's doing that because she's not. She's focused on that, you know, right there. And then, when she puts it down, I'll, you know, I'll jump in there. But, yeah, I mean, it can be a problem, but it does not have to be, to your question. It does not have to be.
Well, yeah, well, the reason why I say that is because I think it's a combination of other things that go on that make the phone a problem. I think that, you know, if you're putting in that time, that quality time, the phone will not be a problem because the phone is work. The phone equates to income.
Right.
You know, especially when there's a work call. If you're an essential employee, you got to pick that phone up. If not, you're going to have issues at your job, which you can't have. You know, but if you're like, you know what I mean, like today, I was out with the wife. We do our Tuesday thing, and I got a call from work. I missed the call. I called right back. I didn't get any flack from her because I'm out with her. You see what I'm saying? I'm already putting quality time in. So if I got to spend 10 minutes to fix a problem at work, that should be no big deal.
Yeah.
You know? But if I'm not with her, and then by the time I'm finished working and doing this and doing all my responsibilities outside the house and all my this, that, and the other and everything, and then I'm giving her 2 hours, and her 2 hours consist of 3 or 4 calls, that's a problem.
Yep. Well, that's like the other day when you we were talking and you were like, man, I can't really talk to you. I'm going home. I mean, literally, you were like, I don't really have time to talk to you, you know, right now, so I'm going to have to holler at you tomorrow. And I respected that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm dead serious about my quality time with my wife. Dead serious.
Yeah.
I cannot be in a situation where that's a problem. Because I've been that guy. I've been that workaholic guy, you know, coming home saying, well, you know, I got to make the money, so don't expect me to do homework. Don't expect me to do bedtime stories and soccer practice and all that stuff because I got to go make the money. But they don't care about the money. That's the whole thing. They don't care about the money. They really don't care about our job. They want us. And by the time I figured that out, it was too late.
Yeah, because me, I come home, spend some time, we watch a movie or two, then 11 o'clock, I'm back on the computer again.
Yeah.
And now,
you know, that quality time is now bumped to 12. And my wife, we do everything together. So she'll stay up or she'll fall asleep on the couch until I'm finished, and then we'll go to bed together.
Yeah.
And so the past two nights, I've been going... She was like, at 2, she's like, I'm going to sleep. And, you know, she's like, what time are you coming to bed? I swear it was 3 o'clock. I said, yeah, it was about 3:30 when I finished working. And I
But you even got to go back. You know, you even got to go back to what you just said, watching a movie. Watching a movie is not necessarily quality time. I mean, it can be, don't get me wrong, but you're not having that substantive dialogue. You know, you're just kind of just sitting there in the same space watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be quality, but I mean, what I'm saying is that it can't be, oh, well, every time I got a few hours or whatever, we're just going to watch a movie, you know, and that'll be, you'll be good with that. Because there's no interaction with that other than what's going on, you know, in the movie, you know, if any. And you may not even dialogue about that. You know, you're just kind of just sitting there, and it's like, oh, somebody's falling asleep at the end of the movie anyway. So.
Well, you know what? You roll right into exactly what I was going to bring up next is quality time inside the home, routine. Do you have routine things that you do? You know, and is it getting to the point where you're like, it just becomes natural? I mean, our routine is we do our chores on Saturday. We might go out, but then we come back and watch movies all night. And the wife told me the other day, she was like, I want to go out. I want to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sick of the same routine of watching movies, just sitting on the couch. Because now it gets to the point where we don't have anything to talk about.
Right, right. And that's a problem.
Because the routine stays the same.
Yeah. And I think that, speaking of routine, I do pretty much, we do pretty much the same thing. You know, we clean up the house on a Saturday. And that's one routine. You know, we can cancel that. It's like, I just want to sleep a little bit longer. But, you know, literally, that's one of those things. And like this Saturday, my kids are going to an all-day Easter egg hunt for free. You know, my old daycare provider is throwing an event, and they're going to have, like, I think they might have the Easter Bunny stop by, and they're going to be doing portraits, like Easter portraits. So they got to take, like, you know, two sets of clothes. But so literally, you know, the wife and I have, you know, all day. It's like 9 to 4. And she mentioned, she was like, yeah, we can clean the house on Saturday morning. And I was like, oh, gosh. I mean, do we? I mean, can we just hang out? You know, and I don't even think we'll go anywhere because I got some long-term financial goals that I'm trying to meet. And I told her, I was like, I ain't got no money this, you know, this month, honey. So, you know, we can get something in. Go ahead.
Can I tell you what to do, honestly? Take her to Eastern Market on Saturday, on 7th Street.
In D.C.
7th Street in D.C., Eastern Market. Trust me, if it's not raining and it's nice, they sell stuff out there. They got an open-air market, people selling all kind of stuff. You can get a fresh lunch. You're not going to spend a lot of money, but it's nice. You all will have a nice time down there. It's like a big, ridiculous bazaar.
And it's kid-free.
That's been up. And the kid's going to be gone.
Yeah, the kids are going to be gone, but I actually, I probably really can't go anywhere. That's why I say we're going to eat in, because my wife has a bunch of work to do. So, really, not taking her, I mean, D, I'm sure that's a great idea, don't get me wrong, but I was literally like, yo, you need to stay home and do your work, because the last 2 weekends has just been shot. You know, my parents were up this past weekend, and we went up to my brother's house on Saturday, and, you know, she works 7 days a week. You know, as a teacher, so it's really not a lot of downtime. So any day, you know, so Saturday, her Saturday was shot. And then on Sunday, you know, she was doing hair, both of my daughters' hair for the week. So she was up until about, I think they were up till like 8, a little bit after 8. So she didn't start her work for the weekend that she normally has, you know, Saturday and Sunday to work on, you know, after church. She didn't start that until like 9 or something, so she's really, really, really behind. So that's why I told her, I was like, yeah, you know, we can clean up the house, but you really need to, you know, while the kids are gone, you need to get your work done, because she needs to get caught up. And because the routine has been shot, you know, back to the host question, you know, the status quo has been shot, because she usually has that Saturday and Sunday to catch up and to, you know, get geared up for the next, you know, work week. But now she's crazy behind, you know, just behind in all her work. And, you know, she's grading right now. You know, I don't know how long she's going to stand it, but, you know, she probably.
But has that frustrated you? Because that sounds like she was on the other foot, where I'm the workaholic in my family. Your wife is the workaholic in yours.
Yeah, and I think the difference is that, like, it used to, and to your question, I mean, to your point, absolutely, I think the other brother said it kind of came to a head when we were involved in all the stuff at church and all the stuff, you know, with her work and everything. It did absolutely come to a head. But now, you know, I'm encouraging her. I'm like, please do your work. I mean, please go do your work, because she's a different person. You know, it's like if she's not engaged. Like if I do take her to Eastern Market, like the brother said, she's not going to be engaged in what we're doing. She's like, man, you know, how long are we going to be here? I've got so many papers to grade. You know, so I'm just like, please, I encourage you to do your work. And but back to your question, what we do to help that, to alleviate that, is we read a book, we share a book, and we're behind a couple of weeks. But we read a chapter a week in a book, and then on Saturday nights we talk about it. And that has helped us, because I know that's guaranteed me time. Like, she's not going to have the papers in front of her. The kids are going to be in the bed or whatever, tucked away or whatever the case may be. And we literally talk about, you know, the book. And it can be 5 minutes, it can be 15 minutes, it can be a half hour, whatever the case may be. But I know that's, it's guaranteed quality time, and it helps. And that has really helped. And so, I mean, I look forward to that. So that's why I say she can work all day. you know, grading papers, or she could just go in the basement and just work, you know, just lock herself in the basement, just work all day. Because I know I'm going to get, you know, that 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes of dedicated time talking about the book. And, you know, the other quality time. So, I mean, it's you have to work something in it. That's what I was just saying earlier about you have to have something where both of y'all can come together, and it's not about the kids. It's not about the jobs. It's not about, you know, the workload or the stress and all that. You just got to get to something where y'all can just sort of just hang out and hang loose. And maybe it is watching movies. You know, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of movies. You know, I like to talk. I like the dialogue, as you can see. But you got to find something, you know, that you can share and that both of y'all, you know, can enjoy. And I tell you, you know, fellas, I don't like reading. You know, my wife calls me illiterate. You know, I skim a lot. You know, I don't read for comprehension, but I retain a lot. You know, I have a great memory, so I get lazy when I read stuff. So, like, when I read an article or when I read a book, you know, I have to write the stuff down or I won't remember it, you know, I won't comprehend it. But I know what it's talking about. I could tell you about it. But, you know, literally, I don't like to read, but I know that she likes to read. You know, so that's one of those things where I know that I can get, you know, she's going to be pumped. You know, she just loves to read, so I know that she'll be pumped up and we'll have that quality time. Cause I know it's something that she likes. You know, as long as she like it, I like it. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
Yeah. And I'm taking that to heat because, I mean, one thing you said was encouragement. And one thing my wife does is encourage me, even though she wants me to. She wouldn't mind if I said I wanted to get another job.
Another job?
Yeah, she wouldn't mind. She was like, all right, I'm fed up with this job. I want to get another. And she wouldn't mind. Be like, go ahead. You know, you're a computer.
Yeah, because she get her time back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can't use it as an excuse, the job.
Right.
That's not a valid excuse anymore. You know, those days, those back in the day, you know, in the 60s, that may have been a valid excuse. It's not a valid excuse.
Yeah, but you also got to balance that. You got to balance that with the lifestyle. I mean, you know, you can't cry about wanting a lifestyle and then be upset with me because I've got to go provide it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
You know, you
gotta
can't always
sacrifice.
Have it both ways.
Yep.
Well, you know, you like to go to Aruba, but honey, you got to go to work. And by the way, Rodney, on Saturday, you can roll with us.
Where y'all going Saturday?
Aruba. Punta Cana, bro.
Huh?
Punta Cana. Chilling on the beach.
Send me a, look you up on Facebook with a picture of the water.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to insert your head
right
with on
your back, John, with some Corona sitting in the background.
That's right, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about y'all, but, you know, Andrew actually brings up a good point. And I am very, and probably y'all will, all of y'all on this phone will probably kind of open your eyes and be like, after I say this. But since it's not a lot of time, you know, because my thing is quality time with the wife. And if I go on vacation, or if I go, you know, somewhere on a trip, or like the brother said, Punta Gora, or wherever y'all going, I do not like going with anybody outside of my wife, and that includes my kids. That includes my parents. That includes my family, you know. So literally, since it's not a lot of time where you do have those, you know, Aruba or Bahamas or what, you know, whatever, National Hall, whatever you do, like, if it's involving somebody other than my wife, I'm not interested.
Really?
Like, I'll go if it's just me and the wife, but I'm not interested in going with a family or another family, even my family. I ain't interested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just me, because I just, my thing is quality time, and it's not a lot of quality time with the wife because of her, you know, her schedule, her job, and everything. So, you know, literally I'm doing a lot of stuff at home, you know, so she can be released and make sure that, you know, because if I didn't do it, you know, she would do it, and then she still have her work to do. Whereas with me, I don't have a lot of, you know, take-home work, you know, so I can tend to the kids or, you know, do what I need to do to help the flow of the household. But, you know, literally, I'm not interested in going to Aruba with nobody but my wife.
Well, see, I'm not even going to invite you, man.
And that's, you know, and
you know what, times, and I'm going to tell you the truth, because my wife and I are together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot. You know, we don't have jobs that we have to take at home and all that kind of thing, and we're in the same ministry together, we're on the same bowling team together, and I love it because I got married because I want to be with my wife. I'm not one of these people looking for reasons to not be with my wife, so I really love it. But there's
mm-hmm.
times that I just want to be with just me and her. And, you know, we're almost always around other people. So for me to get time like this next week, it's going to be me and her, and it's going to be great. And it's been like two, you know, almost a whole year since we've been really out away from the world, just me and her.
Yeah. You need it.
You do. And I'm looking forward to it. But, I mean, just like
wait.
You said, sometimes you get into a situation where you're always around other people. You know, you're together. But it's not, you know what I call it? I call it, is this husband time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just me and you, you know, turn, you know, me get off the phone, you get off the whatever, you know, it's just me. Is this husband time yet?
Yep.
You know, even if we're together, you know, we may be counseling with a couple or whatever it is, you know, we're sitting on the same couch, but it's not just me and her.
Right. That's
and that awkward. Really gets to me because I'm a quality time and physical touch kind of guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like me and you should have been together, Rodney.
Nope.
Well, good words, fellas. I believe we're getting through some important things here because, as we can tell, routines can get affected if we. There's good routines and there's bad routines that I believe in this first hour we have figured out.
Yes. Brushing your teeth is a good routine.
Right.
Taking a bath, good routine. No, go ahead, brother.
So, I mean, conditions. I mean, it goes back to what the definition of status quo is, and that's the existing state of affairs and conditions of it. And that can affect the way, you know, your marriage is going, your job. Communication inside the home, outside the home, doing things outside the home. So it affects your marriage all around. But let's just go to the point and say, this is not the marriage that I thought it was going to be. My marriage is boring. How can a marriage become boring? Can somebody answer that question?
Real easy. Marriage can become boring if you don't make a priority to keep the fun and keep the spice in the relationship.
How do you do that when we got these routines that we talk about, the good and bad?
Because, you know,
now you're talking about now we got to add another ingredient to the good and the bad?
This is the thing that my wife and I do, and this is and y'all, whatever you do, you know, but for us, you know, traveling and looking forward to something, you know, out of the ordinary for us is what keeps us going. We go through the routine every week. There's hardly a week that goes by that we're not involved with the ministry or something or this or that and our jobs. And, you know, you're working. But you know what? To be able to say, you know what? January 2012, Aruba.
Yeah. That's a long way off, too, brother.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But if you can focus on, you know what, we're going to be doing something for us. This is what works for us. It may not be for somebody else, and y'all hear me joke a lot about it, but it's really true. It gives us something to look forward to, you know, where we're going, what we're going to do. We're not going to have to be in this mundane stuff all the time. We've got something that we both really enjoy doing. Now, somebody else may not. It's cool. You know, you just don't know, you know.
Well, but, let me throw this out. Let me throw this out. The host said about marriage being boring. Now, I go out on a limb, and I say that it is easier for a marriage to fall into that category when you're not raising young children. When the kids are, you know, they're teenagers or they're out of the house and it's just you and the wife. Would y'all say that's true?
Well, it would be boring?
It could more easily fall into the boring trap versus when you're going to soccer practice, you know, when you're going to ballet or piano practice, whatever you do, you do with your kids. I mean, that's not boring because it's like, oh, man, I got to run over to football practice tonight.
When you get into that situation, you get into the situation of not feeling important as a spouse. Okay, because everything is revolved around, you know, what's going on with the kids' life, and you're coming out of just the two of y'all being able to spend time and enjoy each other, and now it seems like you are second fiddle a lot of times in those kind of situations.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I think it's easier when there's not soccer practice, when there's not, it's just, you know, you literally coming home, you know, you're putting the keys on the dresser, and it's just you and the wife. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no little kids or anything.
Yeah, but see, if your life was revolved just around the kids, when they leave, that's what you're going to have.
Hold on, Rodney. So you're saying without the kids being present, that's when it can become boring?
I think it's more susceptible to that because, like the brother said, it's like when they do have time, I think the host said, is that they ain't really got nothing to talk about. And like even Andrew said that once the kids do leave, it's like, oh, well, who are you? Well, I've been going to soccer practice. You've been going to football practice. And now we don't have none of that. What are we going to do?
Right. So it goes back to that routine we talked about earlier where we have scheduled our lives around different things, but where we have left schedules out for just you and your spouse.
Yeah, I don't know, y'all.
So it comes down to scheduling, right?
Because I don't have any young kids around me. And me and Sandra gets it in.
That's the way I am. I mean, you know what? When the kids were small and you had to have babysitters, you couldn't step out of the house, you know, okay. You know, but now, I mean, we don't have to worry about that.
Mm-mm.
We're leaving. I hope you got someplace to go.
And some money too,
you know
right?
What I mean? And but here's the thing: if your whole life, as your kids are little, revolves around just the children, and you're not making time and plans and set aside special time just for you guys, when they leave, you're not going to do that either.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's maybe what I was getting at.
Yeah, sure. You won't have the soccer practice. You won't have the this. You won't have the that. The kids won't want to be around you.
Yep.
Okay, be like, oh, come on, I got my friends.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, if you haven't had that yet, your kids haven't turned 14, all right? They're going to hit a point they don't want to be around you. Oh, they'll be around you if you make them, but they'd much rather hang with their buddies at the mall. Can you drop me off? You become a taxi driver.
Yep.
You know, and then they get to a point to become 20, and you got to make an arrangement. Hey, you know, May the 8th, you available for dinner? You know, but the key is keeping the marriage focused as the main important thing. There's nothing more important that you need to nurture the marriage, even when all this other stuff is going on. It's easy to fall into we got too much to do than to spend time with each other.
Yeah,
you know what? And I guarantee you, I can be if you look me up. In the dictionary under failed, I probably the one that failed on that because of the scheduling, because of the kids. So my wife told me that, you know, she says, you know what, we wasted our money. And I said, what you talking about? We wasted our money. And she's like, we bought this timeshare so that we could spend time together, and we haven't used it once.
Wow.
Wow.
And, you know, you always
why haven't you used it? But why haven't you used it yet?
Because I'm always working. And she's like, you know, and you got spring break. So, you know, I use my time for spring break to make sure that somebody's here with the kids. And We go to like the tournament and we have a ball. We drop the kids off at grandma's and we have a ball. But she wants more. She's like, I want that feeling more.
But it sounds like, because you went to the CIAA, right?
Yeah.
And you probably had that on your calendar. How far out did you have that on your calendar?
It's already scheduled for next year.
Right, exactly. That's my point, exactly. Huh?
You ain't leaving her at home, are you?
No, they go together.
No. In the past, I used to leave her at home.
But listen,
but now that she went, because, you know, we went to the same school, so she used to go with her girls, and I used to go with my guys, and we have fun. Now we go together.
But, Mr. Host, that is my point, is because you are scheduling something that is for you, for your enjoyment, where your wife is just like, just take me to McDonald's play place. You know, I'll be happy without the kids. Or just take me putt. It ain't got to be, you know, take me putt golfing, you know. Or whatever the case may be, she needs more than that. But you're like, well, I'm going to focus on work, and when I want to do something that I want to do, I'm going to make time for it. I'm going to schedule it a year in advance, which is crazy. Because it's something that you want to do. You don't want to, I mean, you. Yeah, she can tag along, but she probably is just enjoying just spending time with you the weekend, whereas you could literally flip that whole thing around. It's like, you know what, spring break is coming up, you know, couple of days, I'm dropping the kids off here, we going to the mall, I'm going to take you to the mall, we going shopping, we'll get you a new dress, or whatever the case may be, because that is for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you sound like, and just like you said earlier, she's falling asleep on the couch as you do your work, which is something that you want to do. She would rather you close the laptop and just go to bed.
Yeah, you're 100% right, man. I'm serious. I wish I could disagree, but you're 100% right.
But you got to make the decision that that's something that you want to do. You know she needs that. Close the laptop. I just go to bed. Like Tony said earlier, it's like you made a point to be home at 5:30. It wasn't no, you know, honey, I got to work late. I can't make it. You know, and I think that the biggest thing is acknowledgement. I think it's great that you're on here and this is right up your alley tonight. But you've been knowing this for how long? Like, how long are you to you can continue this pattern, this crazy routine before it's too late? You know, when your wife is just like, you know, I ain't even, no, forget it. I ain't even staying up with you no more while you do work till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because there is a threshold there.
Right.
There is a threshold, and trust me, you don't want to get to that point. Because then, I mean, it's just not a good place to be in a marriage. When she's no longer your cheerleader.
Right.
That's it, because her tank will run dry.
And that tank will run dry, and then that's when the bitterness, I mean, it just opens the door for a whole lot of other stuff that you've been wanting to talk to.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if this has been going on for a while, the next question is, how is it going to change and when is it going to change?
Exactly.
Right. Period. I mean, because we could talk
I think we just need to make sure that we make our marriage a priority.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we could sew each scenario out and talk about it. I mean, because we talked about it before. So, I mean, we know it's a struggle. But at some point, it's got to say, okay, what am I going to do? Are you going to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to have to cancel some of these things and put my wife
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, because we're talking about boring right now, right?
Yeah.
So now it gets to the point where she's asleep, I'm working, she's going to bed now, I'm not ready to go to bed, so now I'm bored.
Yeah.
And
sitting in the house waiting on me to finish my work so that we can do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is that your body,
you know, my body has gotten tired, and the boredness is lacking in the communication because we both just looking at each other like.
But your body has to get used to going to bed when she's ready to go to bed. Because right now it's not used to that. You're used to working until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So, it's going to take some time, some transition time for you to get out of staying up past midnight on your laptop doing work and then going upstairs and your wife is asleep. So it's not going to be like overnight where tomorrow you go to bed at 10 o'clock or whenever, you know, y'all go to bed and you're going to be, oh, you know, I'm ready to go to sleep. You know, I'm in la-la land. You know, so I mean, but that's the time where, going back to what I said about the movie, that's the time where you can say, hey, how was your day today? You know, what is one thing interesting that happened in your day? Let me tell you one interesting thing that happened in my day. And then after you get those little tidbits out, you know, you might do the do or you might not, and you just fall asleep. And then your body gets used to that transition. It's like, man, this is great. You know, I'm not used to staying up till 5 a.m., you know, and then got to work the next day working on the same stuff that was there yesterday, going to be there tomorrow.
So I got one for everybody. Now, this hasn't happened to me, but I've heard of this happening to some folks at work. Where, because, you know, there's lack of communication in the home, and the marriage has now become boring, that Facebook has taken over the excitement in the home.
That's just crazy.
Where the husband's on Facebook, the wife's on Facebook, and that's their communication.
Well, you can always just message each other.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. I know people that are literally sitting in doctor's offices beside each other or sitting on the couch beside each other, posting on each other's status. That is just so crazy to me.
Yeah,
like,
but Facebook is just taking over. It's taking over the excitement in your marriage. You're supposed to be married, doing things together, and now Facebook is taking over that excitement.
But hold on a second. That may not be the case. Because if that's one thing that you're both doing together, you see what I'm saying? See, that's what it is. My wife once told me, she said, it doesn't matter what you're doing, it's who you're doing it with. You know what I'm saying? If that's what they're doing together, if they're one's on Facebook, the other one's on Facebook, and they get their enjoyment out of it, it is what it is. You know? I mean, it may work for them, I'm thinking.
No, it'll never work, because if you're not on the same page and you're trying to sneak in, you know, your comments to somebody that's not on, it's on your page but not on her page.
Okay.
She's
I'll give you an
to an old boyfriend on her page or something like that, and she gets more excitement from the old boyfriend on Facebook.
But we're not talking about infidelity. I think infidelity is something totally different. Let's not go there just yet. But what I'm saying is, I'll give you an example. You and your wife go to Borders Bookstore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like when me and my wife go, she'll go one direction, I'll go in the other direction. I'll grab whatever book I want to grab, she'll grab whatever book she wants to grab. We'll go to the lounge or to the chair, and we'll sit down and we'll read. And now, we were not reading the same book, but we're in the same place, and we're being occupied by something else other than each other, but we're still together occupying the same space.
Yeah, I think that's different from a couple hanging out on Facebook, because Facebook, it's a crowded environment. Whereas even the bookstore is a crowded environment, but you nor your wife is looking to talk to anybody or to spark up conversation with anybody about the books that y'all choose. But I think it's different where you go on to Facebook looking to see what somebody else is doing or to see what somebody else is talking about or someone, you know, talk about what you're doing, what you're talking about. You know, it's crowded. You know, whereas you're in a crowded bookstore, but you're not even interacting with the people in the bookstore other than the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a different, you know, it's a different dynamic with that, because I think that's a great thing. The bookstore is, you know, that's different. You know, the library, I mean, it's just different stuff. I think we have to talk about status quo. We just got to do different stuff.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
I'll send out, you know, I'll send y'all a list later.
Well, listen, it's 10:30. Let's talk about boring. And let's go on and get to it.
Boring? Yeah.
We're still talking about boring. Has the sex gotten so boring in your relationship that you rather look at Skinamax or HBO or than to go upstairs and have sex with your wife?
Wow.
Wow, that'd be rough.
That's rough.
That's rough,
brother.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's 10:30. Let's go on and hit each other in the chin now.
That's right.
I mean, that's the question of the East.
I mean, it's a quick answer. Because after you watching Cinemax or whatever it is you're watching, you still feel empty. I'm going to take the warm body over that any day of the week.
Good words, brother.
Did you say Skinematic? What did he say?
Skinemax.
Skinemax.
It's Cinemax, isn't that what it's called?
Cinemax, Skinemax. Who knows? But you
for
know
real,
what the brother's talking about.
Is that for real? You making that up?
I think
no,
it's old school. That's old school.
I went, you know, and doing my research, I went online and there was a woman says that my husband rather look at porn than have sex with me.
No, it's Skinemax. Is that real?
Well, Showtime, man, I messed around turning on one night and was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think after hours it changed.
After hours, it's off the hook.
I think it might change over to quote-unquote. I mean, it's still
every
Cinemax.
Every channel was Skin.
Yeah, it's Skinemax. I don't think it's an actual channel.
I think
that's, you know, no.
No, that's just a different name for Cinemax.
And it's like, what channel is it? You're like, what channel is it, brother? Oh, man. But I think I go with Tony. Tony was absolutely right. The warm body over Skinemax or whatever you're going to watch. You know. Good words, Tony. Good words. Good words.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, what about, you know, through your relationship, that the weight, your wife's weight, may not be the same where it was before. And, you know, y'all used to be flipping over bars and doing gymnastic routines with high difficulties of 3.3.
And, yeah, you and were younger, too.
And now you're just too military, you know.
Missionary.
What? How effect that does that do to your marriage?
Well, I think that goes back to what you said. It's a combination of things, as Tony said. It's not the phone. It's really you're not spending that time, you know, to get the 3.3 level or the 9.8 on the scale of 10 difficulty. You know, it's like whatever. It's like, all right, let's get this over with. So you got to spend that time, you know, so it doesn't, you know, just end up, you know, that same old routine, regular, you know. So, but you got to put that time in before because women are emotional. You know, you got to feed their emotions. You know, whereas we're just physical, as Dr. Gary Chapman would say. So,
because I mean, routine in marriage now is especially when you have young kids. This may not be the same for some of the folks who kids are a little older, teenagers plus. But that routine is you come home, you get the kids straight, you do what you do, and then you try to get one in before you go to sleep. And it's always in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And it becomes routine. Same position, same, you know, emotional foreplay. And
Well, let me...
You're trying not to wake up the kids.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask this one question. Because I know that in a relationship, dating, marriage, whatever the case may be, I think you have to find that thing that works sexually, where both of you can achieve a climax. And once you find that, and that works, see, I think that we, you know, we want to reinvent the wheel, which is fine because we like variety as men. But if we find something that works and we find ourselves in that place every time you do it, but it's working, you know what I mean? We will complain and say, yeah, but, you know, I like to do it, you know, in the bathroom or in the shower, I want to be outside on the balcony. But, you know, but if it works, I think that's more important than the variety. I mean, I could be wrong.
But that becomes routine, and routine becomes boring. That's what we came up with early.
But what if it works?
It works, but is it boring to you? Does it work and you just became accustomed to it?
Yeah,
in your mind, are you really getting that fulfillment? Are you really getting that fulfillment?
Listen, when I was dating and I wasn't married, you know, my thing was I love dating a straight dime piece. And fine, you could take her outside, all of that.
He said take her outside.
In the car anyway.
Take her to McDonald's.
Some guys date women that you can't be outdoors with them. I mean, real quick.
Wow.
Everything cooking, the sex is good in the beginning anyway, so everything's good, and then you still say, it's working, but what's going to stop you from talking to the next time piece you see? It's that variety factor. You see what I'm saying? Now, how does that same tendency not seep into your marriage? It could be working, it could be fine, but there's something that we used to get that we're trying to relive, and it may not be the thing to do, you know, in a marriage or whatever the case may be, but what you're doing is working, but we still want more.
I have to say, man, I think sex and routine gets bored sometimes.
Sure.
That, you know, even with sex, you got to be almost an exhibitionist, you know. You got to try different things. I'm not saying all the time. If it works, keep doing what you're doing. But every once in a while, you want to bring out that freak, or you want to do that thing you thought you could do when you were 20.
That was coming out.
Hey, you know your back's going to be hurting tomorrow.
Your
knees going to be aching.
Yeah.
But it's fun. When you go to Aruba, do you want to stay in the room, or do you want to, you know, do something different that you're not going to do? You know, you want to be out there in the water, let a little water get in your crack.
Well, here's my question to you, to throw it up. It seems like people are talking about changing it up from a sex factor all physical. And I think that's probably the wrong angle to come at it, as we've discussed in earlier calls. I think what you really want to do is think about things from an emotional and mental aspect that, you know, you can do maybe even, you know, prior to, as a part of foreplay, or even during, that can probably, you know, take, you know, you might be doing the same thing physically, but you might have, you know, arisen, you know, stimulated her, you know, so much from, you know, I don't know, just talking to her in a different way, you know, touching her in a place that she's never, you might have been doing, you know what I'm saying?
Good words. And I think that for the host, Mr. Host, what you could do is you could shut your laptop down at 9 o'clock and just go to bed. It would be like, what?
Yes, indeed.
She'd be like, yes, indeed. Lock the door. I mean, really?
If you do it all the night, wake up in the morning and keep it moving.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sneak up on in the bathtub. Say, I'm getting in the shower with you.
Yeah.
Watch that back.
And you know what? The other caller he hit it right on the nail. It's what we do. I mean, we do the same thing and expect a different result.
Right. That's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that if we go back to doing the things that we did, and they do have some responsibility there too. But if we go back to doing the same Mac Daddy stuff that we did in the beginning, to get all those flips and all that exotic stuff, I think we can get it again. But I just think that sometimes we get comfortable, we have our daily life, we come in, and everything is missionary, and let's just get it in and go to sleep. You know, but are we talking dirty to them on the phone? Are we sending them freaky text messages? You know what I mean? Are you taking them out to like a restaurant or to a nightclub and act like you don't know them and walk up and try to scoop them, you know, just start everything? I mean, there's so many things that we can do that will stimulate those juices, but I think that sometimes we put our wives on a pedestal and we just don't do it anymore. And I'm guilty of it. Trust me.
Yep. I have to agree with you there. So, do you get bored with your wife's weight? If she put on a little weight, is that a concern where it gets you frustrated and affects the marriage? Coming outside the bedroom. Has that affected anybody?
Nope.
What about attitude? The attitudes aren't the same. You know, the kids, the job, the stress. The attitude towards you as the head of household is different. Where it affects the marriage. And that attitude routine really makes a change, a difference in how you communicate back to your spouse. Now, your attitude and everything else that we talked about this evening, how does that work?
Yeah, you're on my street now.
Wow.
Yeah, you done drove right up in my parking lot, right?
I'm serious, man, because that attitude can change the marriage.
Yeah.
You're doing everything you're supposed to do as a man. Just, you know, you're trying your best. You stop doing the other things. And now, you still got attitude.
Yeah. Snapping, and I'm not, you know, I don't like to use the word back talk because that's kind of like, you know, with a child thing, but snapping can do it.
It makes you feel different when you drive up in the driveway every night when you know you're going to have attitude when you walk up in the house. And
you know,
I mean, there was one time in my marriage where, I mean, I say it was the 7th, 8th year of our marriage where I was driving around the block before I came in the house. Because I just knew I was walking in. I was leaving one stress coming to another stress. Somebody moving around, I hear a little static. Hello?
They stopped moving.
So my question was, is for the ones that didn't probably hear it, is when for me, my 7th, 8th year of marriage, it would drive me crazy coming home. Because that emotional drain from work to come in the house and have an emotional drain from an unhappy spouse, I felt like it affected the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on somebody's street?
Mm.
When you wanted to come home, you know, because usually as a man, come on, let's just be honest, everybody on this phone. You want to come home, the first thing you want to do is sit down and take your shoes. Right, you want to get about 5 minutes just to yourself so you can just say, I'm at home. And, you know, and then you want to start the conversation. How was your day? How was everything? And now you know you're that emotional job stress and everything is probably gone away in that first 5 minutes because you just took your shoes off. You're in the house. Made it home safely. The kids are happy, and you got that new second win because now you're going in husband mode. And the first thing you walk into is emotional distractions, the angry wife. that mm-hmm. has to be a big effect on some families. That would drive a man crazy. Or am I just the only one?
No, no, you're right. You're not the only one.
I swear, I mean, I'm being honest here. On my 8-year marriage, I was ready to walk away. Because it just felt like, to me, it was constant.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to get to the root cause. We had to bring in the third party to get to the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never understood it by myself. And a lot of people don't go to that third party. Because I got this one we had a couple calls a couple weeks ago where we had a young gentleman on the phone who was upset because of something his wife said to him. Where it literally separated them two.
Mm-hmm.
Where he left the house for a couple. Because that emotional drain, I guess he, you know, embodied it so much that it was taking their relationship to another level. And it wasn't a good level. So how do we get away from that? If we know that our relationships is going that way, how do we get away from that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a situation that has to be dealt with consistently, but you have to deal with it immediately. You know what I mean? Because you can't get disrespected in your house. And they have to understand that your house is your safe place. When you're out in the world working and dealing with all these strangers or people that you know or really don't know, you know, when you get home, that's supposed to be your sanctuary. That's where you get home. And, you know, you don't want that drama.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to tell them, say, you know, I don't come home for this. Because I get to the point where I don't want to come in my own house, that's going to be a problem because I'm going to be somewhere else. You know, if you want me to come home right after work, if you want to see me, then, you know, fix it before I get it.
Mm.
You know, I was talking to a female friend of mine the other day, and she was actually listening to one of the calls, and she said she was guilty of it. Actually, two of them, and they said they were guilty of it. They were complaining about everything and anything they could. And husband came home from work. Just because. And women do it.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in the house and do that punching bag. And I'm all right with that to a certain extent. If you have a bad day, okay, let me know about it. I want to know about it. I want to be the one to sit down and say it's going to be all right. Let's get a plan B so you have a better day tomorrow. But it can't be every single day. You complain about me, you complain about the traffic, you complain about your computer slow, you complain about you ain't got no cell coverage. I mean, all kind of stuff.
You know, I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago, I mean, on one of the phone calls that me and the wife, we talk on the phone and get rid of our stress.
That's a great idea.
You know, before I even get in the house.
Because
mm-hmm. my wife would tell you, I would just tune her out. And she'd be like, you know, you won't look at me, you won't communicate with me. You And then when I keep constantly acting, you snap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just like, because I want to come home, I don't want to think about it right now. Give me a few minutes and then we'll get it together. But my mind, I want to put my focus in my mind somewhere else. I don't want to jump right into another problem.
Well, that's a great idea to debrief. You know, and I don't have that problem. And that wouldn't work for me, you know, honestly, because like I said, it's not a lot of time to cook and do homework and do all the other extracurricular stuff that we do during the week. So that wouldn't work for me. Plus, my wife doesn't like talking on the phone. But I think that's a great idea for someone who does have that trouble with, you know, we've heard some guys on here before, you know, they got to drive around the block, you know, a few times to, you know, before they walk in, you know, to the house just to, you know, get themselves together, you know. But I think that's a great idea to debrief, you know, on your way in and get all that stuff out. And then when you do get home, you can jump right in and help out with, you know, the floor of the household, what needs to be done, homework, you know, turning the, you know, setting the table or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think, Mr. Host, if you do some of those basic things, like getting home at 5:30, or, you know, if you can, I think that will really go a long way, and you'll see a change in your wife and your children, you know, if you start doing that and start getting. And I know it's some days where you still got to work late and your wife is on a flex schedule, but you'll see a change in them if it's just some sort of a routine, you know, where it's like on Wednesday nights, you know, we eat and we go to church. You know, we know the kids know every Wednesday, the wife knows every Wednesday we're going to sit down, we're going to have a good meal, we're going to talk about the day. You know, it's no working late on Wednesday. I mean, just start there. You got to start small. You know, you can't say every night I'm going to be home at 5 o'clock, you know, ready to – you probably can't say that. I mean, you just be lying. You don't want to lie to her. So I would just start small and just say, you know, one Wednesday night or whatever the night is, I'm going to be home at 5:30 regardless, you know, as much as you're – and it's going to be some days where you're not going to be there. But I would just make that commitment to say – and you at least have that one day where the whole family knows that you're going to be home on time.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll go a long way, my brother. And you know it will. You know, if you show up and sitting down and y'all just chatting it up, they can look forward to that.
I think that also to be a better delegator. I think that is key when you have a lot of responsibility in and outside of the house. And I think that you put people in place that will allow you to have a break from your responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Like at work. You know, team up with somebody and say, look, you know, you're going to have to handle this on Tuesday. I handle it on Wednesdays, and we'll flip-flop. You know, don't have my phone ring. You handle this part because I'm going to be with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then your church responsibilities and all those things, you got to flip-flop. You got to have like a tag team partner. Say, okay, I'm going to come in and do it here, but you know, don't call me because you know I ain't going to be here this week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you have an understanding. And then I also think, like Rodney would say, a schedule. There's a schedule, okay, and this is your day, this is my day, this is your day, write it down. Put it on your BlackBerry. You say, okay. And then you will have more time. But when we try to bite off more than we can chew, or have that mentality, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. That mentality will get you short.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, man, I got to do it myself if I want it done right. No, you don't. You can delegate and do delegation right.
Yep.
Because you got the right person on the job.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that what Tony's saying is absolutely true, is that I've learned, especially with two kids and all the stuff that we're into on both sides with work and outside of work, if you don't schedule it, it will not happen. I mean, it just won't happen. And then when it does happen, it's shoddy. You know, you still, you know, got the laptop in one hand, BlackBerry in the other hand, like, yeah, you know, that movie is pretty good, huh, honey? You know, you're not even really engaged in what y'all are doing. You know, but I think absolutely, and then, you know, it just takes a few days, and then you can build it up, you know, where you have 3 or 4 days in there. But, you know, I even saw last week, was it last week, Tony, I saw you and the wife in Bible study?
Yes.
And how was that, brother?
That was good. Well, I mean, you know, the fact that we were there together.
Right. Exactly. And I know what you're saying, brother, because I was there too. I see you across the phone lines, brother. But I think that the key was, like you said, the fact that y'all were there together. And, you know, that's why I ain't even try. You know, I hollered at you from across the aisle. You know, I was like, hey, what's up, brother? I hollered at you. You know, I'll just let you enjoy that time, you know?
Listen, Rodney, because you had already known my struggle.
Yeah.
I told you about the struggle. I told Patrice about the struggle that I was having. You know, my job changed, everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just because my job schedule changed, that don't mean I'm going to slight my wife. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So I got to move some things around and shuffle, because I remember she's first. You see? My marriage got to be first. Because that's the backbone of, you know, of my foundation. So if it's like, okay, well, some I don't have a problem if things got to be eliminated for that. Because she's going to be there when that job fires me.
Mm.
If you do.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? She's going to be there if I get laid off unexpectedly or they downsize or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You see, so, and I was telling you that she, that we had a lot of fun together. We enjoyed each other's company in Bible study. And then that had gone away. And I had to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So my schedule was arranged for and I also saw my marriage lacking some spiritual stability because of our lack of Bible study together. Because we would go, and then we would talk about it. And then we would go, and then we would build, you know, Wednesday night. And then maybe Thursday we'd talk about what happened in Bible study. And then we'd get some stuff to research, blah, blah, blah. Just imagine that being completely wiped out. So now I'm relying on a Sunday morning sermon.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever we read in between the time, but it's not together. You
yeah.
see, so I had to get that back. You know, no matter how what the message was, we were there, we had to get it back. So I had to move some things around. You know, and I used to tell Patrice, I said, you know, there's really no need for us both to do the Royal Rangers. I got it, and you got it. If I got it, you're going to be with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and vice versa.
Yep.
You know, but again, man, we got to put them first because they're going to be there with everything else is not working. They're going to still be there.
And I think the beauty in your situation, Tone, is that your job served it up on a silver platter for you. I mean, they changed your schedule. They opened up your Wednesday.
Wide open.
So no excuse then.
No excuse. I mean, I left for another night, you know, because now I got to work late. I mean, but that's the hand I was dealt.
Right.
Bible study is important. It is important. Yeah, especially to a marriage, because
yeah.
a lot of times they talk about marriage. They talk about relationships, you know, stuff that we need to revisit, you know. Not trying to sell Bible study, but it helped me in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what you said was key is that you moved some stuff around, whereas, you know, your wife her time didn't dip at all, despite your work schedule change. You know,
no.
you just rearrange it throughout the week where she gets the same, maybe more quality time, you know. So, and I think that's important where you look at it holistically and look at it over the week. It's like, all right, I don't have this night on, don't have this day anymore. But I do have this night or I do have this day, you know, where we can do something, you know, whereas we can't fall into the trap where it's like, oh, I can go play golf, some night golf.
Exactly.
Got some glow-in-the-dark balls or something, you know.
Exactly. I mean, but you know, so within that week, I've got her getting all of her time, me getting my golf time, gym time, work time. It's all on the schedule and it all works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if there's a time where I got to fluctuate, I'll let her know in advance, okay, I won't be able to get with you this day, but I'll make it up on that day. All within the same week.
Yeah.
You know. And then you got to remember, you got to give them time. Their me time, too.
Yep.
It's mandatory. They got to have some me time. It can't be up on you the whole time trying to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be like, look, go hang out with your girls.
Yep.
So they waiting around for you to be free so y'all can have some quality time. You know, that's more stress on you. You got to let them say, okay, you know, we're going to have our time, but now you go out and go shopping or go hang out and go finger paint and do whatever you do different.
Right. Cause at the end of the day, you're going to be out and you're going to be thinking about, well, darn, I can't leave her out here. I can't stay out here all night because she's at the
mm-hmm.
house herself.
Yep.
It's affecting your quality time with yourself because you're thinking about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Balance, man. It's very important, man.
Very important.
I didn't have it. I didn't have it my first marriage. I had no clue. Everything
Every
was
time
my
I way. Didn't have it in this one, I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it.
You got to get it.
Got to get it.
Got to get it. It's important, man. It's important.
Start tomorrow. You know, I'm serious, man. It's never too late. That's the one thing about it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Start tomorrow, and make sure it works. You know, it works, and it works for the both of you.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation where you know you can't dictate. And trust me, I put my time in with my wife. I know I do. And I still catch flack that I don't. So, I mean, you got to realize that sometimes you just ain't, they ain't going to be happy. They need to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, but I know for a fact, and people around me know for a fact, that I put my time in with her. You know, regardless of what she says, because she says, hey, yeah, but, you know, they got to complain about something. You know, but at least you know that you put it in. But if they complain and they write, that's a problem.
Right. Right, right. Because you know she's on the... Because before, you know, now she's on that flex schedule. You really got to do some scheduling, planning, you know, because that window where she might get that call, you know, whatever the case may be, whereas you got to make sure that window where she's not on call, that she's available, that you're available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rodney,
yes.
You said something that is key, very, very important, because I used to deal with this in the beginning. It's got to be 60% or 70% what she wants to do.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We get stuck on, well, honey, you like basketball, right? Well, we're going to watch basketball tonight. You like football, right? Well, we're going to watch football tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to push off our thing, like me and golf. My, you know, I watch golf on TV, and she's sitting there watching with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she like it?
yeah, but, you know, mine's a little different now, because now mom will call me and be like, I'm watching the game, and give me the play-by-play.
Yeah. Well, that works. But but lifetime, you got to remember, you got to have those lifetime moments.
Yeah. Them Lifetime movies good, man. I don't know what y'all talking about. It's going to be good.
I know. No. You already know the ending at the beginning of the movie. Oh, I already know how this is going.
Them joints be good, man. And they got their own movie network. That's part of the – I watch that. I'll be checking for the movies all the time.
Yes,
my daughter loves that show.
My wife's got about 5 different programs that she's got me. Lifetime is one of them. She likes Showtime with that chick that's got like 8 different personalities.
I don't know what that is. I don't have Showtime.
The 90 States of Tar or something.
Yep. She likes that one. Locked Up Abroad is another one. About getting locked. And she got me. Grey's Anatomy is another one. It's another one. That's 5 consistent.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to watch them with it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? I mean, it is what it is. Because, you know, I didn't try to knock it. Like, yeah, whatever. And then I found out, you know, the one Breaking Bad is about a college professor that sells meth on the side. Just think about that. You got murder, everything. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, check that out.
But Tony, let me ask you this, brother. Do you think that it's easier for us as men to jump on something that they're into than vice versa? Like you mentioned golf. Now, you know she don't like watching golf. But you like watching Grey's Anatomy now.
Yeah.
You know, do you think it's easier as men for us to say, you know, and I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, was a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, we went to the movies. And I don't go to the movies often, fellas, because, like I said, I got 2 little kids, and I don't have a babysitter. You know, I got a couple daycare providers, but I don't have nobody after hours. So, But I do have an arrangement with another couple that's great. And, you know, we watched it. They got 2 girls. We got 2 girls. So we have an arrangement pretty much on average, like once a month. They'll watch our girls, you know, one Saturday, and we'll watch their girls, you know, one Saturday, and you know, it's, and we're reasonable. We ain't, you know, leaving them over there all day, you know. know, it's you know, just a late afternoon to early evening, and we'll go do the date night thing. But anyway, long story short, back to my point. I took my wife to this independent theater over in Shirlington, in Arlington. And I had to take her over there because they were playing this movie that was only playing in certain select theaters.
What's the name of the movie?
It's called Jane Eyre. Yeah, I probably haven't even heard about it, but, you know, I know my wife was into it. She's read the book and all this stuff. Huh?
Is that the movie that's down there by all the restaurants?
Yeah, the end. Yeah, all the way. Like Carlisle Grand and everything is down at the end.
I was just on it last week.
Wow. Yeah, that's the spot. That's the spot.
I looked at that movie theater, and they had some movies that we didn't even know the names of. I was like, okay.
Right, yeah. Because they show, like, the independent stuff. So, I mean, you couldn't go to your local, you know, 15 Megaplex to see this joint. I had to go, you know, across town. But anyway, long story short. And thankfully, God bless, because I know the owner of that theater. And, you know, so I called him up. And I just was calling him to say, hey, you know, by the way, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to stop by, you know, and spend some money in your establishment, you know, this weekend. And he was like, no, you know, I have a couple of tickets for you waiting at the front. And I was like, so I don't have to pay? And he was like, no, yeah, I got you. You know, so I walked in, you know, he asked my wife if she want a soda, some popcorn, and, you know, but anyway, long story short is that I went to see this movie, and this, y'all have to go online and see the previews, because, I mean, it's not something that you would catch me at, you know, but I know that she loves this stuff, and she was just doing backflips, you know, when I told her, I didn't even tell her what we were going to see, but, and the movie was actually decent. You know, I wasn't falling asleep or anything, but I would have never been caught dead in that movie theater, you know, had it not been for me knowing what she's into and knowing that she would get in, like, she was overjoyed, you know, that I took her to see this movie and that I knew exactly, you know, where her tastes were. And I was just kind of just there for the ride. You know, I'm just, you know, just kind of enamored, just sitting there just watching her enjoyment. I actually got a little enjoyment out of the flick. So, you know, it wasn't as bad, you know, as I anticipated it. But maybe it goes back to, I don't know, I think it's maybe it's us. As men, I think it's easier for us to jump in on what they're doing or what they're into than it is, you know, for them to, you know, embrace what we're doing. Go ahead.
It's easier for them because my wife has definitely got involved in some stuff that I do that I didn't expect her to do at all. And I will tell you a story. And I think I told this story once before. We went to Miami once on a golf trip, and she went with me.
Yeah.
And we actually went to Doral to watch Tiger play on a Saturday. And it was 70 degrees out there. It was like, actually, honestly, it was like a walk in the park for us. But we just happened to be watching Tiger and Phil Mickelson play 18 holes of golf. And she had on her sneakers. I had on mine. And it was nice. The weather was so nice. And we just walked and watched. And it was exciting for me because that's my thing. You know, but the fact that she did it, knew nothing about golf. She jumped in. See, I don't know if she could have said, okay, let's go to a dog contest. That's how I wanted to go. You know what I'm saying? Or a bar expo or a or something. I might be like, nah, you go and, you know, you go ahead and I'll be here when you get back.
Right.
You know, but she not only did it then, but she did it two times in D.C. too.
Which
surprised me. You know, because I didn't think, you know, again, I was like, okay, I'll take what I can get, you know, but we had so much fun, and her feet was hurting after 18 holes. She's like, man, I'm tired. I was, oh. And then she went and did it again here in D.C.
Wow.
You know, so I would have done that. I would, you know, for whatever they do. Women do, you know, I don't know, just pick something that they do. They all get together and do stuff. And, you know, if God's the richest man, but I don't feel like holding the pocketbook today. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good words.
But you definitely was on top of your A-game to even know that that independent thing would work.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah.
And to be paying attention to this, you know, off-brand movie. And make arrangements on where it was playing and everything. Because that movie, again, they might have had 5 or 6 movies playing, I think. And
right.
I don't remember knowing any of them.
Right, right. You're exactly right. And check it, she didn't even know it was out. She didn't even know it was out. Because, I mean, it's limited theater, so they don't run a whole bunch of commercials. You know, like, oh, get to the theaters now in 3D. It was none of that. So,
none of that.
And my coworker told me about it, and she's into that kind of stuff too. And she was like, "Yo, you know, are you taking your wife to see Jane Eyre?" I was like, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" And she was like, "Just playing in select theater." So you know, I started doing the research, and you know, rest is history.
Oh, that's good words. Well, it's a little bit love, and I had a couple more questions, but I have to ask this one.
Okay.
I got 2 more. I gotta ask.
All right.
Do you get more upset that now in your relationship that you got to ask for permission to do anything before you can do it?
That's funny that you just say that.
You doing donuts in your front yard.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to
it's not because that's part of marriage. I mean, if you're gonna be a couple, you know, your wife's gonna be worried about you if you say, "Hey, I'm gonna go hang out with the, you know, fellas. I'm gonna make a stop before I come home."
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's just to me, it's respectful. But should you do it every time? I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tony. You got to tell it.
Yeah, today I was, you're right, right. And, you know, I was talking about this. There's this watch that I've always wanted. I never bought the watch. And, you know, we were just talking about it. And it's not really expensive. You know, it might be less than $1,000.
That's funny, Tony.
But listen, when he said watch, I knew it was so. It wasn't one of these fossil $39.99 watches.
Yeah, Tony, yeah. I thought Tony was say, yeah, it was about, you know, less than $100. This guy said it wasn't even expensive. It was less than a G.
No, sir.
I'm just kidding. Listen. When you talk about watches, there are very expensive watches out there, $20,000, $15,000.
Those. Yeah, the Rolex, the Presidential.
Exactly. It's not that. But anyway, you know, and so we were talking, you know, I was walking, and I just happened to bring it up. And she was like, you know, if that's what you really want, I think you should just buy it.
Don't say that, because I will buy it.
I'm trying to tell you, the whole time we was on this call, I was on the internet.
Tony.
I mean, you done got the permission.
Good point. And it's not that I really, well, I'm not going to say I didn't need it because I did need it. Because to spend that kind of money on anything, it's a discussion. You just
mm-hmm.
don't do that home, man.
Yeah, you just can't walk in the house and bring home.
Yeah, even if it's half off. You know, you just can't come in the house and be like, yeah, I just bought this, you know.
I got a story too, and it's actually not about me, but one of my friends, and it's actually he posted on Facebook, and his wife has said that she thinks the kids need to get an iPad too, so they can get the education or something. I don't even remember what he posted. So he said literally, and he's been wanting the iPad too, and he said literally, as soon as she said that, the guy was like in his car, headed to the store. Because he had got that green light, you know. He's like, oh, yeah, for the kids, we need it for the kids.
For the kids, I'm going to buy it now.
Exactly. Why that light is green before she say, you know what, maybe not.
You got to have your, you got to have your hand on the throttle at that point and go get it.
Yeah,
but Patrice, about the, you know, stopping home, I mean, on your way in, you want to go, you know, I think it's just respect.
Yeah.
I would do it. I would, you know, not every step of the way. Like, if I get off work and I got to go somewhere else to the mall or whatever, no.
Mm-hmm. Or you get off work and go straight to Happy Hour.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm a call, you know, and be like, you know, I'm not, you know, don't look for me. I'll be a couple hours late.
Yeah, well, I think it's like what you said earlier. You know, it's a threshold.
Yeah.
You know, it's a threshold. You gotta know your wife, you know, what you can. Now, Tony could have bought a, you know, he could have bought a $30 Seiko, something like
mm-hmm.
that, no problem.
Yeah.
Or a $100 Citizen or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, still no, you know. I got the green light. And, you know, I may still not buy it. But the fact that I got the green light?
Yeah.
A beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Beautiful.
Now, is it a difference if you're buying something for her? That is, you know, the price tag is going to be a little expensive because it's anniversary or birthday. Do you need to say, hey, I'm buying you a gift, but the gift is going to be $1,000.
Yeah.
Just a diamond ring. Do you tell her or you just buy? And
that's
then you'll deal with it later.
There's no surprise factor there. Now, when you spend that kind of money, there's no surprise factor because that could end up being, you know, take it back.
Exactly. Yep. We ain't got the money for this. Yep. Good words.
I don't know if I told you all about the $1,000 laptop that she wanted.
No.
Mm-mm.
The little app.
Yeah.
Only $1,000 laptop is an app.
Yeah. Well, she got it. She got it. And that was brought up today. She said, well, I got my $1,000 laptop, so you better go ahead and get your watch.
Oh. But did she come and ask you?
Oh. She wanted it for a long time. And I was like, I don't know if we need that right now. You know, I was that guy. And she's like, okay. And then one day she came and she said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and buy that laptop. If that's what you want, go ahead and get it.
And this guy is on that laptop tonight looking for his $1,000 watch.
I was on a $180 eBay laptop. He for this joint.
Good words.
Good words. Well, last question of the night, and then we'll go into open mic. Are y'all ready?
Better be a good one, sir.
It's the best one of all night.
All right. Go ahead with it.
Is your dedication to householdstress.com affecting your marriage? We get a lot of people on this call on Tuesday night, and we get a lot of dedicated people every
mm-hmm.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And they're trying to build themselves up and create positive vibes in their marriage by getting on this call. But is it also hurting them? Because it's now mandatory that they get on every Tuesday night.
Yeah. I can't answer that question, honestly.
Well, I'll say this. I answered it. And I think it goes back to what we said. And that is absolutely a great question, Mr. Hope.
It is.
Great
it
question.
Is. Very good question.
But it goes back to what Tony always says and what we've said tonight is that you have to put the time in on the other days
mm-hmm.
in order to be released like we're released right now at 11:17 in the p.m. to be talking to some brothers about some, granted, some great stuff. But, I mean, literally, you got to put that time in, you know, not on Tuesday. We know what happens on Tuesday, and our wives know what happened on Tuesday. But if you don't get that time in, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, some of us do when we don't, you know, when things happen, you know, we wouldn't, we, if we're not the, you know, the host, you know, I know me, I'm guilty. I step off, you know, I'll be like, guys, I got to go. I mean, like Tony was talking to me on Sunday, you know, he was like, man, I can't talk to you right now. And I understood, you know, it wasn't like, well, you can't talk to me, you know, but it's literally like one of those things where it's like that understanding where, you know, if somebody got to step off, you know, especially bringing this 52 weeks out of the year, unless Christmas falls Tuesday, you know, it's difficult. It can be challenging, but it goes back to what Tony, you got to put that time in. You know, because if Tony ain't had that Bible study time tomorrow or didn't have that time yesterday, you know, he would have been off at 10 o'clock. I got to go, fellas, you know, literally.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I will say this. I will say this. It's just like any, it's just like anything that you go to get information.
Mm-hmm.
College, school, counseling, whatever the case may be. If she can see the fruits of your absence on Tuesday nights, good thing. If Tuesday nights and you're away doing anything and you say it's to better myself and then there's no fruits, there's no improvement, then it could be a bad thing.
That's great words, brother.
You know what I'm saying? This could be a bad thing for people. We know it could be a good thing, but if you're taking time away from your wife on a Tuesday to get on here and vent, but not bring nothing back, may not be a good thing. This may not be for everyone, because some people might not come on here to take something away from it. You know what I'm saying? So your time away from your wife is not spent wisely.
Right. And plus, we get on here knowing that we got to put the time in on the other 6 days of the week.
Exactly.
And they don't know that. You know, they just, I mean, that's priority number one. You know,
yeah.
Spend that time them other 6 days, because we know some nights we be on here till the wee hours of the morning and still got to go to work the next day. Except for Tony, he off on Wednesdays now.
Yeah.
No, I got to work tomorrow morning.
You got the early shift. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I always get the early shift.
Yeah, me too.
That,
you know, so, yeah, I mean, that is a great question. And as long as we are getting something from it and they see that it's a good thing, I don't see how it could be a problem.
Right.
I don't think this is a problem. But I have to ask, now I got to reverse it. If the shoe was on the other foot and you were tired, ready to go to bed, and your wife is still on the phone going to midnight, is that a problem?
It goes back to what I just said. Has she spent the time on the other 6 days? I mean, because it could be a problem. If she's on, till midnight and we ain't, no. I mean, it's like you need to hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line, you need to hang up the phone.
Bottom line. Yeah, you need to do something different.
Yeah,
because we did have our show that people can go and look at called Double Sense.
Yes.
I guarantee you some of the stuff that we probably talked tonight about, the women will listen to this call and say, "Y'all crazy as a, it's a double standard."
Mm-hmm.
If she was on the other foot, you'd be mad at us.
Yep, hang up that phone.
Mm-hmm. And so even though there's some small double standards, this gives you an opportunity to understand why there's differences between the head of household and the better half.
Yep.
Because we have to put in more energy to make sure, as somebody said before, that we satisfy them 70% more.
Yeah.
In everything that they want to do. And if everybody gets what we get, you know, what this whole call was about, is understanding that you're going to have some weak spots in your marriage. You're going to have some boredom. But I think you got some good ideas of how to get out of those boredom. You can get stuck in situations with your job, with your church, with your health, with your relationship inside and outside the home with your kids, you know, during the times of, you know, throughout your relationship, your marriage, and your life. But being dedicated and responsible and being ready to adapt and change, I think your marriage will get stronger. And with that being said, thank you again for spending another week with the Household Stress Crew. And anytime you want to go, check out our new website. It is great. We have added color. We added sound. We even added video that matches the topic that we're trying to discuss for the week. So go to www.householdstress.com. You can also go in there and blog. You can also go in there and listen to old shows. You also can go to the link, which links you to TalkShoe, and you can pick any of the topics for any of the years that we have talked about. We've made it user-friendly for you so that you know, can make sure that your relationship gets better, because one may affect one family, may not affect somebody else's, but there's something here that affects everybody. And with that said, thank you. We're going into next week. Our topic for next week is
to be determined.
You need to go look at that website every single day, shoot, and that topic will be out there sometime this week. Thank you much. My name is P-Town, head of household, and thank you again.
Open mic time.
It is time for open.